Greetings and salutations, everyone. Can everyone hear me well? Can you hear me clearly? I'm not yelling. You can, you know, blowing everybody's hair off. Okay, awesome. Welcome. Welcome to the session today. We are session 3316, the latest in tools for state and community health improvement planning. So if that's not where you intended to be, now is the time to make a break. Okay? Awesome. We're all supposed to be here. That's it. You can't leave now. You're done. So let's get all the housekeeping out of the way first. Presenter disclosure, which we are required to read, all four of us, myself, Melody Parker, Denise Pavletic, Lowry Ward, and Michael Bilton. The following personal financial relationships with commercial interests relevant to this presentation existed during the past 12 months. We didn't have any. At the end of today's session, you will be able to, and no, we won't. Are we going to quiz them? No? Okay. List at least three such questions to consider when using a health improvement planning tool. You'll be able to identify common elements in health improvement planning models and frameworks, and you will be able to find additional resources on health improvement planning from a variety of sources. So let me pause here for a moment and introduce you to our speakers today. Denise Pavletic holds a BS in nutritional chemistry from the state, nutrition and chemistry, from the State University of New York and an MPH from the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Additionally, she holds a national quality improvement certification through the American Society for Quality. Denise started her career as an active duty Army officer and has 20 years of healthcare experience, including 6 years with the North Carolina Division of Public Health, leading the Office of Performance Improvement. In that position, Denise was involved in several national quality improvement projects, including the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation-funded multi-state learning collaborative, and assisted in leading the nation's alpha test for state health agency accreditation that helped inform the newly created Public Health Accreditation Board in preparation for national voluntary accreditation. Denise is currently working as the Director of Public Health Systems Improvement for the Association of State and Territorial Health Officials, affectionately known as ASTO. Lowry Ward is she's an MPH and a CPH. She joined NACHO in 2010 as a program analyst with the Accreditation Preparation and Quality Improvement Team. In her current role, she provides technical assistance to health departments preparing for national accreditation. Prior to joining NACHO, she worked as a program coordinator with the Duval County Health Department in Jacksonville, Florida. Her work there included managing and coordinating community-based coalitions and developing materials for the community and public health professionals. Michael Bilton is the executive director for the Association of Community Health Improvement at the American Hospital Association. Michael co-founded and leads the 850-member Association for Community Health Improvement, ACHI, a membership group of hospital-based community health and community benefit leaders, which is a part of the American Hospital Association. Among other projects, ACHI has created an online community health assessment guide and conducted the first ever national survey of hospitals, community health departments, and staff leadership. Previously, Michael worked for AHA's Health Research and Educational Trust, the Healthcare Forum here in San Francisco, the Illinois Primary Healthcare Association, and the Chicago Department of Public Health. Michael has an MA in Health Policy and Administration. And finally, there's me. Hi. Melody Parker. I am a public health advisor. Yes, I'm reading my own bio. I am a public health advisor with the Health Department and Systems Development Branch of the Division of Public Health Performance Improvement in the CDC Office for State, Tribal, Local, and Territorial Support, also known as OSTILT. My experience with public health accreditation and systems research began in 1999 with program coordination of the Michigan Local Public Health Accreditation Program during my tenure with the Michigan Public Health Institute. My experiences during that time included participation in the first cohort of the Multi-State Learning Collaborative and the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation-sponsored effort of exploring accreditation. Currently, my duties include serving as the CDC co-lead of the Public Health Infrastructure Objectives Workgroup for Healthy People 2020, in addition to the administration and development of the CDC National Public Health Improvement Initiative's Performance Improvement Managers Network. So that's enough about us. Let's talk a little bit about these tools. I'm going to be very quick, and I'm going to get out of the way so we can hear the rest of the really important stuff. I'm just going to paint you a little picture here. So why are these tools that we're talking about today, why are they suddenly in the forefront? Well, as many of you know, FAB accreditation has requested that there are three prerequisites for to proceed through accreditation. The key elements of the FAB accreditation program are the standards and measures across 12 domains. Those include the 10 essential services, administrative capacity, and governance. They are intended to provide a strong foundation for all public health programs. And then down to the three prerequisites, which we highlight now. A state or community health assessment, a state or community health improvement plan, and a health department strategic plan. And then following that is the actual accreditation assessment process itself. The following slide, there are key definitions for the community health assessment and the health improvement process and the health improvement plan itself. These are excerpted, again, specifically from the FAB Standards and Measures version 1.0. Community health assessment should identify key health needs and issues through systematic, comprehensive data collection and analysis. The health improvement process is an ongoing collaborative effort to identify, analyze, and address health problems through coordinated strategies. Ongoing collaborative effort, highlighting that piece, ongoing. And then the health improvement plan is a written document used to set priorities and coordinate resources. These are the common elements in community health improvement process models. I know that some people generally don't like to read slides, but I know after I've been sitting in many sessions, I don't see them at all. So I'll do quickly. Common elements in these models. You prepare and organize. You engage the community. You develop a goal or vision. You conduct community health assessments. You prioritize health issues. You develop and implement community health improvement plans. And you evaluate and monitor outcomes. An excerpt from IOM's latest for the public health investing in a healthier future from 2012. I wanted to highlight a small piece out of that, just again to note how these efforts are being highlighted, are being noticed, are being made important to the continuation of the work that we here do. Community health improvement planning has been conceptualized and implemented in a variety of ways. Typically, these strategic planning activities include at least three distinct phases: the completion of a community health assessment, the identification of health priorities, and the development of an action plan to respond to priorities identified. The evidence base regarding the optimal nature and scale of investments in each of these phases is underdeveloped. However, the need for some level of capacity in community health assessment and related health improvement planning is widely recognized. Because these activities are often viewed as fundamental elements of public health practice, the Public Health Accreditation Board will not consider a health agency for national accreditation if the organization has not developed a community health assessment, a community health improvement plan, and an agency strategic plan. If you want that citation for further reading, I can give it to you. So this is a variety of tools over time. I'm not going to go through all of these, but I just wanted to highlight a couple of them and at least read you the acronyms they were. PATCH is the acronym for Planned Approach to Community Health. It's a cooperative program of technical assistance that was managed and supported by the CDC. The PATCH concept emerged in 1983 primarily as a CDC response to the shift in federal policy regarding categorical grants to states. APEX-PH is a voluntary process for organizational and community self-assessment, planned improvements, and continuing evaluation and reassessment. Again, a collaborative project of APHA, ASPH, ASTO, CDC, NACHO, the U.S. Conference of Local Health Officers, LMNOP, sorry. and then PACE-EH is another partner effort between CDC's National Center for Environmental Health and NACHO. They developed a protocol for assessing community excellence in environmental health. This is a methodology that guides communities and local health officials in conducting community-based environmental health assessments. And I'm not even going to talk about now, because you are. But the acronym is Mobilizing for Action Through Planning and Partnerships, another community-driven strategic planning process for improving community health. The That's all I'm going to talk about as far as that's concerned. So, this specifically, the community health assessment and improvement models, differences to consider. These are things to consider when you're getting ready to choose, pick, whatever it is that you're about to do. Who is implementing, you have to think about who's implementing the improvement process and what's the scope of collaboration. So you have to think about the level of collaboration and or shared ownership. Who's the lead organization or the focus of the tool guidance? So that who is leading this effort will also be a factor in what sort of tool you choose. So you're thinking about you have to think about jurisdictional differences. Is it going to be led by a state or a tribal entity or a local entity? Is it specifically going to be led by a single programmatic area? Is it going to be led by a health department? Are we talking about a healthcare organization or community organization or even a non-health sector representative? How comprehensive are the data used and the issues addressed? Something else that you have to think about. Are we looking at a broadly comprehensive effort or a focus on categorical programs such as chronic disease, maternal and child health preparedness, et cetera? And then you think about the inclusion of other inputs, policy, system, assets, et cetera. And then looking at the tools, are there underlying models or concepts that will be a better focus for your particular efforts? We're looking at a biomedical model, socio-ecological model, social justice and or health equity. Are we thinking specifically only about performance measurement or strategic planning, health promotion, or policy? These are underlying elements to think about when you are selecting a tool. And with that, I will put a stop in it and turn it over to Denise.
Thank you, Melody. Good afternoon, everyone. As Melody stated, I am from the Association of State and Territorial Health Officials, also known as ASTO. If you're with a state health agency, we are your go-to resource for technical assistance and training. So feel free to stop me at the end of this if there's something that your particular state agency needs. I do want to recognize a couple of colleagues here, Donna Marshall, who is the Senior Director for Performance Improvement and Quality, and Joya Kaufman, who is a Senior Analyst with ASTO. So come see either one of us. We're all happy to help you. Quick show of hands before I get started. How many of you have been through a state health improvement process? Just a couple. Okay. Okay, good. Is there anyone here from California? Oh, good. Okay, great. I was on one of the boat tours yesterday, and we were out in the bay looking back at the city, and I thought, oh my gosh, I can't even imagine having to do that community health assessment. And then I thought, how in the world do you guys even do the state health assessment? What a daunting task that has to be. So what I'm here to talk to you about is the state health improvement planning process. It's a resource that ASTO has. It's on our website. I do want to start with a couple of definitions. You heard Melody already talk about some definitions. I'm going to link back to FAB. You probably are maybe, well, I shouldn't say probably, don't assume that. You may be sick of hearing about FAB, so even if you're not considering FAB accreditation, it's okay. I mean, this will still apply. So, so again, it's a tool you'll still be able to take home with you. So what is a state health improvement plan? And I'm going to read verbatim, a long-term systematic effort to address issues identified in the assessment and state health improvement process. You heard Melody emphasize the word process, so I could take a minute to make a distinction between three items. So you've got your state health assessment, and that's the collection. You collect and analyze data. You've got qualitative and quantitative data. That information gets fed into that state health improvement process. And that process, FAB is looking for a broad spectrum of participants. They want to see collaboration. And the result of that process is the plan itself. And yes, that is a written document, but what FAB is looking for is they're looking for that collaboration, the process, what is the process that you use, how did you bring folks together, how did you prioritize, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so again, back to FAB's definitions, it's considered current if it's developed or updated within a 5-year time period prior to application. And it relates directly to Domain 5, and Domain 5 is around conducting a comprehensive planning process resulting in a state health improvement plan. So I've heard folks ask, well, can I just pull together a bunch of data and put together a document that's called our state health improvement plan, and that would, something like that would not meet the FAB standards. They are really, they want you to collaborate with partners across the state. So back in 2010, AFSCO collaborated with Purdue University as well as the CDC, and we looked at state health improvement plans. We tried to find common themes and examples, and the results of that collaboration, as you can see there, is our SHIP guidance and resources. The website is there. You should have slides that also refer you to the website. We identified, let me look at the national data first. Sorry, I'm jumping ahead. In looking at national data, this data is from our 2010 state health profile, and what we saw was that 54% of state health agencies had developed a SHIP within the last 3 years, 46 developed a SHIP more than 3 years ago, 58% had developed a SHIP using the results of a state health assessment, 63% of the SHIPs linked to the local health assessments. And that survey included all 50 states as well as the district. Lessons learned from our scan. We identified 9 basic components of what went into a state health improvement process. Establishing a planning process, identifying and engaging stakeholders, engaging and visioning, collecting and analyzing data, establishing priorities, communicating and vetting priorities, developing your objective strategies and measures, developing and implementing your work plan, and then, of course, last but not least, monitoring and evaluating and updating the SHIP. And so I need to make a disclaimer here that these were the common components among those SHIPs reviewed. So we're not saying that your SHIP has to include all of these, nor are we saying that if you have all of these, you will meet the FAB standards. So this is just the common themes across the board. So the first component is around establish a planning process or select a model. And I know that's a little vague. We are currently working towards developing a state health assessment resource for states. You're going to hear my colleague Laurie talk about the MAP process, which is used at the local level. A lot of states, we heard this morning from Nebraska, a lot of states have used a MAP-like process. So I know that that's a little bit vague there, and we are hoping to make that a little more robust. But the SHIP what we found in that scan was that a SHIP process can take up to 48 months to complete. So you need to keep that in mind if you're applying for FAB accreditation. You really want to identify one or two people to drive the process. It could be someone in the state health agency or a shared responsibility with a partner. You definitely want to engage your health agency leadership. This lends credibility to the process. It raises awareness. And it provides critical approval throughout the process. And of course, last but not least, as I talked about earlier, engaging your stakeholders. The average participation in SHIPs ranged, or the average was 100 people, and it ranged anywhere from 40 people up to 400. The second component is around identifying and engaging stakeholder in planning and implementation. So developing a SHIP is an opportunity to drive an ongoing state collaboration improvement process. As we talked about, the development, implementation, and monitoring of a SHIP can be led by the state health agency, but it's a shared responsibility among the system partners. Your partners need to be committed. You need to have a broad range of perspectives. You want to contribute necessary resources. You want to be able to impact outcomes and be diverse. Oh, and something that's really important is throughout this process, the state health improvement planning process, you want to evaluate partner participation. It's very important to get feedback from them because you want them to stay involved throughout the process, particularly if it takes 48 months to complete. You don't want to lose any of those valuable stakeholders in the process. So ask them, how are we doing? Okay, so this is a scan of the different data sets that were included in the state health improvement plans. And it's hard to read this slide, I know, but the most often included data was from local health agencies, nonprofits, hospitals, environmental health, physician offices, and academia. And you see here the egg diagram. You've all probably seen it before, but again, that represents your public health system. You want to engage all of those folks within the state to help you with that state health improvement plan. The third component is engage in visioning and systems thinking. So the vision is, where do we want to be? We're here, where do we want to be in 10 years? And so it's a picture of the future you wish to create. It provides focus, purpose, and direction. You want to make sure that you constantly refer back to that vision as you're going through the process, because you want to keep kind of the eye on the prize. Keep people focused on where we're trying to, what the goal is of this project. How many of you have been through visioning processes before? Any feedback on experience with that? How is it set up? Half-day retreat, full-day retreat, 5 minutes? Someone jotted it down on a napkin. I don't know. Any comments? Coley?
All of the above.
Okay.
The ones that I like the best are a couple hours.
Yes.
To jot down, but not that all day retreat.
Right.
Really getting everybody's input and agreeing, not maybe having consensus, but agreeing on something that moves them forward.
And did you feel like involving those folks helped them to be committed to the process? Okay. Great. So consider holding a visioning session with your system partners. It may be good for you to use a facilitator, and that person could be someone from the state health agency. Again, broad representation. Document and communicate the vision, and then, as I indicated, refer back to the vision throughout the process. The fourth component, collect and analyze data. There's several types of data that can be used and methods for collecting data for a SHIP. For FAB requirements, a SHIP must be data-driven. So a lot of states do a state health profile. They have data from that. FAB is looking for evidence-based interventions. And the data needs to support the rationale for choosing the priorities and indicators in the plan. Some things to think about when you're doing this process, you may want to align the state health agency plan with the locals. I think locals have been really doing the health assessments much more than the state level. So go to your locals, have them provide input to the process and get them involved as well. Okay. Okay, so our environmental scan revealed that the most common data sets used were from maternal and child health, chronic disease, environmental health hazards, population health status, and EPI reports. You can have both outcome-related priorities in this. You can have system-related improvements, infrastructure improvements. You can have process improvements in this plan as well. It doesn't have to all be health outcomes. Number five is establishing priorities and identifying issues through priority setting. How many of you have sat in on a session where you've had to you had to determine, okay, what are we going to do? How are we going to do, or what are we going to do? And what ends up happening typically if there's no structure to that session?
A lot of different priorities,
right? And people vote on their personal pet projects. So this step, it's really important that you're using some sort of a priority matrix. We've heard a lot of states talk about we're drowning in a sea of data. How do we prioritize this? And so you want to use a process as objective as possible. Establish some sort of criteria. Perhaps you can look at the performance of that particular measure and then versus the priority it is within your state. And you can use a priority matrix. Those are all resources that are on the AFSCO website. Component six is communicating and vetting your priorities to ensure momentum and support from leadership and stakeholders. Build momentum for implementation and utilize broad expertise related to the selected SHIP priorities. It's important to seek input and communicate the process throughout the SHIP planning and implementation process. So you need to identify who needs to be communicated with, how you're going to communicate with them, and then write that down in a communication plan and put a timeline on it. Component seven is around developing your objectives, strategies, and measures. So, you want to include time-framed, measurable objectives. Those are the foundation for a SHIP implementation work plan. It helps track progress on the objectives for each priority over time. You want to make these realistic, so we want them to be SMART objectives. SMART is specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, time-bound. We're all probably familiar with that acronym. We want to make sure that the strategies and activities in that are evidence-based. And again, there's several resources on the AFSCO website for those. And you want to develop the measures with targets. Item number eight in the environmental scan is in developing and implementing a work plan. So as the state identifies the strategies and measures for assessing outcome, you need to have a work plan, obviously. And when you develop your work plan, it's very important to identify who are the responsible parties, measurable outcomes, and implement the work plan by carrying out the objectives and strategies. And I'm kind of going through this really quickly, but on each slide you'll see the link back to the particular FAB standard to the right-hand side in the box. Component nine is the monitoring, evaluation, and updating the SHIP. Again, this is a FAB. FAB standard is looking for. They don't want this thing to sit on the shelf. You want to be continuously looking at it, evaluating it. Are we doing the right things? Do we need to change our priorities? So when you're looking to evaluation, it could be an evaluation done by your internal staff. It could be an external person. You want to determine the appropriate check-in opportunities. Develop the evaluation plan. Determine who will evaluate. And then adjust it as needed, share those updates, and then use that information in your next cycle in developing the state health improvement plan. So, as I stated earlier, we are hoping to have out by 2013 a state health assessment resource, a state health improvement plan, as well as a strategic plan for states. So look for that on our website. I did give you the address to reference the SHIP guidance and resources, so start there. Here's a slide. If you go to the AFSCO website, the right-hand top corner is the link to the state health assessment and plans. And so more to follow, more to come on those resources. So I kind of went through that fast, Melody. Are we good on time? Okay, great. So I thank you. Do take questions now, or? Okay, so we'll take questions at the end. Oh, you don't have copies. You guys don't have copies of the slides. Oh, I don't know. I'm sorry. I apologize. I thought you guys had the copies of the slides. So, no. Okay. And I can give you my business card now. I can just happily email them to you.
Thanks. All right. Hi, everybody. My name is Lowry. I'm with the National Association of County and City Health Officials. I'm a program analyst on our accreditation, preparation, and quality improvement team. I'm going to apologize in advance. My voice is a little scratchy. I'm getting over a cold. I'm assured that I'm no longer contagious, but I might cough at one point, so sorry in advance. I'm going to talk to you today about some community health improvement planning tools that NACHO has and other organizations have as well. And I also, for the last couple of nights, being out exploring different neighborhoods of San Francisco, was marveling over how difficult the community health assessment would be to do in this town. So I think that means that Denise and I work too much and should go on a vacation. So I'm going to start first with a very brief overview of the community health improvement process. Melody did a great job introducing it, and the state health improvement process is similar, so I won't belabor the details. But as Denise talked about earlier, we view the process of developing a community health assessment and developing a community health improvement plan as part of this community health improvement process. So FAB requires these two separate documents, but they are all part of a larger process. This is the jelly bean diagram that you have probably seen 5 times today and will probably see another 10 times before you leave San Francisco. Just the key point that we like to make when we're talking about community health improvement planning, no matter what framework you use, no matter what model you use, it's not just the health department's assessment. It is a community-driven process that needs to involve all of these partners and more. And we call it the local public health system, but obviously it would be applicable at the state level too. The common elements that Melody talked about in any health improvement planning process are up on the screen, and the two I'm going to talk about are conducting the community health assessment and developing the community health improvement plan. The frameworks that Melody mentioned earlier are, I think, important to mention just historically because a lot of us have studied these in schools or taken, you know, been involved in some of these. And I'm going to talk more specifically about mobilizing for action through planning and partnerships, which was developed in 2001, but released in 2001, but developed over a 5-6 year period with a large national partner network. And NACHO views as the gold standard of health improvement planning. And then Michael, in his presentation, is going to talk about ACHI's toolkit, which is a great model for if you're working with a hospital in your community. And the ones that Melody went through earlier are ones that all were considered in the development of these more recent and more modern health improvement planning processes. So, as I said earlier, NACHO considers MAP the gold standard of community health improvement planning. We do, however, recognize that not every community can conduct a MAP assessment or, you know, wants to, and that's totally fine. Mobilizing for action through planning and partnerships is a community-wide strategic planning process for improving public health. So it takes the concepts of strategic planning, which a lot of us know from our work or from our studies, and applies them to community-level health improvement planning. It's a method to help communities prioritize public health issues, identify resources for addressing them, and take action. So that take action component, something we kind of forget about, you know, we do the health planning process, we develop this wonderful looking health improvement plan, but then MAP really helps folks actually move forward and implement the strategies to address the priorities. And these are some photos from communities where we've done MAP training. So the Mobilizing for Action Through Planning Partnerships is not just, you know, an acronym, it has meaning behind it. The Mobilizing references the importance of partner involvement. So as we saw earlier with the jelly bean diagram, there are lots of sectors that we can engage that we probably aren't, or that haven't been engaged traditionally for whatever reasons, and MAP is a really great tool to use to engage those non-traditional and traditional partners at a deeper level. Action, like we talked about earlier, this is about implementing a health improvement plan. MAP is not about creating a book and putting it on a shelf. It's about that action process. Planning, again, we were applying strategic planning principles, so it really was well-researched and well-researched, I guess, to when they came up with the model for this, to use these concepts that we've seen work so well in the business world, to use them in health. And then partnerships, again, involving the community and not just involving them as in having them meetings and showing them what you as the health department have done, but having them involved in the core team, having them involved in the larger team, etc. So I'm going to show you two sort of pictures of how we like to visualize the MAP process. This is the more academic model. These are the six phases of MAP, organizing for success, partnership development, visioning, format assessments, identifying strategic issues, formulating goals, and strategies, and then what we call the action cycle. And around the edge, you'll see the four assessments, where it says four MAP assessments. And the way we like to describe MAP is it's the process that results in two of the three prerequisites for FAB. So it produces a community health assessment, which you get from conducting these four assessments, and then it also produces a community health improvement plan once you go through to the action cycle. So a lot of communities do a sort of modified MAP approach where they don't do all four of these assessments. Obviously, this process can take a long time. We say typically 1 to 2 years. I noticed that you all say 1 to 4. That's, I guess states are much bigger. But typically 1 to 2 years is the investment that a health department needs to make to do a robust MAP process. So, and a lot of times that's not possible. You know, you've got funding from your state, you have to finish this in 9 months. And so typically we see health departments, you know, taking out 1 or 2 of these assessments to conduct their MAP process. And I can talk more about what those include later if folks want to know, but there are lots of resources that I'll talk about in a second. So this is our other sort of more community-focused model that shows the process for MAP. So you start with the organizing for success, partnership development, you go through the assessments, you create your plan, you formulate your goals, and then you get eventually to a healthier community. What neither of these do is show sort of, they all sort of show it as a linear process or as something that you do one and then you move on to the next phase and then you move on to the next phase. And as we all know, that is not true. You always are going back to this organizing for success. You're always inviting your partners. A lot of times you are revising one assessment, maybe not all of them, to update your CHA, that sort of thing. So now I'm going to talk a little bit with an accreditation focus. As Denise said earlier, it's fine if you're not planning to apply for FAB accreditation anytime soon, but because of the new accreditation program, the focus on these prerequisites has really brought a renewed energy to the health improvement planning field, so we're excited about that. And I'm going to talk really briefly about the differences between a community health assessment and a community health improvement plan, and then I will get to the awesome resources we have for you all. So I'm not going to read the definition again because I know we've heard it a bunch today, but community health assessment, the first part, the first prerequisite for FAB. This is some data from NACHO's 2010 profile of local health departments. In the last 3 years, about 43% of health departments have been participating in a CHA process. And as you can see, the no is about 16%, plan too soon is about 9%. So about half of the health departments in the country have done this pretty recently, so that's exciting. These are the standards that relate directly to the health improvement plan, the health assessment. As you all know, it's a prerequisite before you can even apply, but then there's also three measures in standard 1 that relate to standard 1.1 that relate to the community health assessment. And those are to conduct a process, so that's having that collaborative process. One is to have the actual document, so produce the document, and the other is ensuring that it's available to agencies and that you're actually getting it out into the community and not just sticking it on the shelf. Community Health Improvement Plan, again, the same definition that we read earlier. It's a long-term systematic effort to address these health issues. A little data there. Again, it's a little less than with the health assessment, but about 40% of health departments have worked on a CHIP in the last 3 years. But we have a lot more no's in this section. So we're seeing that across the country, quite a few more health departments have done the assessment phase, but not necessarily moved into the improvement planning phase. And with all this data, this and the CHA data, you see much higher rates of doing the prerequisites at larger health departments. So the smaller you get, if you separate that data, the less health departments have done CHAs or CHIPs. These are the measures for locals that relate directly to community health improvement planning. Standard 5.2 is to conduct a CHIP. Measure 5.2.1 is that process that we talked about earlier. 5.2.2 is the actual document of the CHIP. 5.2.3 is to implement the activities and have an improvement plan, and then 5.2.4 is to monitor the progress over time of your CHIP. So that's what relates to that. Okay, so now I'm going to talk about some resources for community health improvement planning that NACHO has. Michael's going to get into some more of ACHI's great resources as well. So as I said earlier, I work in accreditation, so that's why most of the stuff I do is through the accreditation lens. So I'm going to talk first about the resources available for CHAs and CHIPs if you're specifically thinking about doing one as a prerequisite for FAB. The accreditation preparation website at NACHO, nacho.org/accreditation, we have a series of sections. We have learn about FAB, complete the prerequisites, collect documentation, form a team. So we sort of divided it up into concrete steps. And then some other related content that is useful is we have a newsletter and webinars that are great, and an accreditation toolkit that provides examples of good CHAs and CHIPs as well as other resources. And then our newsletter, I encourage you all, if you don't already get accreditation, to sign up for it. It's sort of how we tell folks about the latest resources that we have and other agencies have and any funding opportunities available. We also have a CHA CHIP Resource Center, which definitely for this specific topic is a great resource. NACHO is currently conducting a demonstration site project with health departments across the country conducting really robust community health improvement planning processes. And that finishes this December. So after that, this resource center will have a lot more examples in it now. But currently, when you're at the resource center, if you go to the CHAs and CHIPs tabs, we have sort of models that folks are using, example CHAs and CHIPs that NACHO has deemed robust. Again, doesn't imply that you will get accredited. NACHO is not FAB, but we have reviewed them and think that they meet the standards from our staff perspective. And then there's also just a whole bunch of resources for all the phases of a community health assessment, no matter what model you are using. NACHO's MAP website, MAP was developed with a really large community public health participation, but NACHO sort of houses all the MAP resources. It's through our website. So if you go to nacho.org/map, there's two things that you can find. This is the MAP, there's a whole bunch, but two that I'm going to highlight here. This is the MAP Network, which is like a Facebook for MAP users. And it's really for anyone, doing any sort of community health improvement planning process. We're not going to not let you join if you're not using MAP or you're modifying it. But it's really neat. We have tons of members. I would say, there's probably 24 or so who are actively involved at any given time, but it does fluctuate. I think there's a couple hundred members from across the country. When I was at a health department in Florida, I was coordinating our MAP process, and I was on the network. It was neat to connect with folks. We post, current events occasionally. We do profiles of MAP staff. We post completed documents and things like that. And then the other awesome resource on our MAP website is the MAP Clearinghouse. And so this is divided into all six phases of the MAP process, with very detailed templates and resources for every phase. So in the organizing for success and partnership development phase, there's spreadsheets that you can use that recommend all the sectors that other folks have used for their partnership development. There, in the visioning phase, there's all sorts of worksheets and presentations that, you should show people to get them into that, 2-hour time frame instead of that 6-hour time frame that we talked about. For the four assessments, there's examples of completed assessments. one of the assessments, the community themes and strengths, is usually a large community-wide survey. So there's examples of questions that communities have used. There's examples of ways to get that survey out. I was looking through it the other day preparing for this, and a lot of folks use their public library system. Like, every time someone logs in a computer, pops up, do you want to complete this survey for the health department? It's really neat. Identifying strategic issues phases, there's all sorts of tips for facilitating those sessions that Denise was talking about that can sometimes get unruly if you have 25 people with 25 dots putting them all over the wall. So really great resources for every phase. And if for some reason you can't find it, we probably have it, you know, somewhere else. And the MAP folks are really responsive if you email them for technical assistance. So I think that's where I'm going to stop today. But again, we'll have questions at the end. And thank you all for your attention.
Okay, well, good afternoon, everyone. I will unofficially, you've been welcomed, I'm sure, to San Francisco. I'm going to unofficially welcome you again to San Francisco because I do live and work about 15 miles from here, so welcome to our city, and I'll make a few comments about health assessment activities here, actually, in a little bit as well. As Melody said, I do work for the American Hospital Association and focus pretty strictly around community health and community benefit activities of hospitals. And a lot of our work is around the interface between hospitals and public health departments and hospitals and other organizations, other sectors involved in having some responsibility for improving the health of the community. And in fact, what we're doing here today, this sort of interaction between our national associations happens a lot. And I may make a couple of references to that as I get started. We're working right now, NATO's ACHI and the American Hospital Association have been supporting a NATO project funded by Robert Johnson Foundation for the past couple of years that's around helping LHDs prepare for accreditation by getting better at the CHAs and the CHIPs. And we've had a role in that process in the way of facilitating that hospital local health department relationship at the local level and helping both sides understand where each other's coming from, what requirements are on either side, and so on. So I make a few references to that work as I go through. I want to talk a bit about tools, but I'm not going to go really detailed on tools because while I'll point out some things that we've developed or work with in the field on the hospital side, at base, the process that a hospital might follow to do a community health needs assessment is darn similar to what a local health department is going to do. You guys on the public health side were, in many ways, the pioneers around community health assessment work. And before there were many hospital-based or hospital field-generated tools or guides, you know, a lot of our hospitals are following what public health put together or participating, as you know, in public health-driven processes. It works both ways, but you guys were really out of the gate early on this. And so I won't go into the detail on our tools because at base they're pretty similar in terms of process flow. So I want to start with a quote and some background material. I'll go into tools a bit, and then I have some other contextual information in the way of helping sharing some of our perspectives on why community health assessment and community health improvement plans, or as we would call them, implementation strategies, are important and increasingly important to hospitals. And one of the roles that we try to play is a bridge between hospital and public health. So I want to share some of the perspectives we bring to this work in addition to focusing on tools. So you see this quote here, it looks like it's very pertinent to today, certainly, with everything we know that's going on. This was written 18 years ago and published by VHA, a national association of hospitals, in a community health assessment guide that they put out. So community health needs assessment is not new to hospitals, even though the IRS requirement, and I'll speak about that while that's new and it's focusing a lot of attention on the subject matter, there have been pockets of good work at the national level and certainly at the local level on community health assessment in hospitals for a long time. This slide is a representation of some of the trade press that we and others have produced over the past couple of years that focus in on various aspects of community health needs assessment, community health strategy, community benefit practice, and increasingly now population health and the relevance of community health assessment and community data to this emerging field of population health. And I'll come back to that in a little bit, but Trustee and HNHN, HNHN stands for Hospitals and Health Networks. It's the American Hospital Association's flagship monthly magazine publication. Trustee, pretty obviously focused on hospital board members as an educational piece, and then some other articles that we've had a role in putting together as guides. So just to illustrate that on the hospital side, we're actually doing a fair amount of work to educate the field, both at the trade press level and then at the educational conference level. You can look up any of these publications if you'd like, and as Melody stated earlier, all of our slides are downloadable from the APHA conference site, so you can always go back and get the details on these things later. So a couple words about the requirement that hospitals conduct community health needs assessments. As you most assuredly know, the Accountable Care Act, Affordable Care Act, put in place in a part of it that has never made a headline from a newspaper perspective, but was there nonetheless. Section 9007 amended community benefit requirements that not-for-profit hospitals are accountable to. And one piece of that, there are a few different pieces that aren't relevant to today's talk, but one piece of that was, in fact, that hospitals perform a community health needs assessment at least once every 3 years. And you can see here that it's some direct language from the Act. Hospitals must take into account input from persons who represent the broad interests of the community, including those with special knowledge or expertise in public health. So there's this incentive, there's this rationale for hospitals to reach out to public health, either formal public health or informal public health. Lowry was talking about public health system in a pretty broad way, and we know that public health knowledge and expertise resides in other places in addition to local and state public health agencies, say a public health institute or many community agencies such as the YMCA or so on. But in any case, hospitals need to take into account some public health expertise as they put together their assessments. They also need to put together an implementation strategy, and the parallel I would draw for you here in terms of the accreditation side for you guys is the CHA, is the Community Health Needs Assessment on the hospital side, and the CHIP is this implementation strategy that hospitals are required to put together. So there's the assessment and the action, the assessment and the plan phase. So there's a good parallel in terms of the requirements on us and the incentives that you guys have around doing these for accreditation. So a couple of things around a little more, two more slides on what hospitals are required to do. This language and the next come out of not the statute itself, but some guidance that the IRS put together about 15, 16 months ago. There's an IRS notice, I've got it footnoted here, the URL, if you really want to get into it, it's a 25, 27-page document around how the IRS intended at the time to interpret and implement the statute. We're still pending final regulations, so there's a little bit of uncertainty in the hospital field about exactly what will constitute compliance, but the best source, really, for almost all questions regarding hospitals' completion of these assessments for IRS purposes is in this notice. So a few points from the notice in terms of what hospitals need to document on their community health needs assessment. You see them here. The community served, describe the community served and how that was determined. Describe the assessment process you used and the methods, which can include or should include data sources and dates on the data, analytical methods, any gaps in the information that you were able to collect, notes about any of your collaborators or contractors if you hired any to help with one or more parts of the process. That word collaborators up there can frequently include local public health departments or state public health agencies for that matter, as well as many other community agencies. The assessment also needs to include a description of prioritized health needs found, including the methods used to set priorities from all the mass of data that we typically get out of these assessments, and then a description of existing healthcare and other resources that are available to meet the needs that have been identified. So that's a thumbnail sketch of requirements or IRS guidance on requirements for the hospital's needs assessment piece. then similarly, there's some guidance from the IRS around the implementation strategy. And Lowry, in your slides, you were talking about the data HOD collected a couple of years ago with respect to what percentage of health departments had done a CHA and a CHIP in the past few years, and it was more prevalent that you'd find that they've done a CHA than a CHIP. While we don't have similar data, I think, for hospitals, I would say, generally speaking, the same thing is true. I know many hospitals that have been doing needs assessments every 3 or 5 or 6 years for the past, 10, 15, 20 years, way before this came into play. Many of them may not have done a formal plan around that data, even if they used it to, direct resources. Now, of course, that's becoming more formalized. So some of the requirements on the implementation strategy, including how, of course, the hospital plans to address the needs identified, discuss them to a level of specificity to identify programs and resources that will be directed at those priorities, as well as some statement around anticipated impact. Describe any planned collaboration. Collaboration, again, could be with a local public health department, could be with a CHC or FQHC, could be with YMCA, United Way, local schools, you name it. All those organizations, you work with them as well. And I know on the street level around the country, a lot of this collaboration goes on and has been going on well before and independent of community health assessments and implementation strategy work. But in the context of hospitals doing this for their IRS reporting, there needs to be a description of any planned collaboration that the hospital chooses to engage in. And ultimately, the implementation strategy needs to be approved by the hospital's governing body, which is typically its board, or would be a committee of the board that's delegated to approve it. So at a senior leadership level in the hospital, then, this does come on the radar screen, and there is a sign-off in terms of what that plan looks like. So a few things about resources in the next 2-3 slides. We have a guide that's been referenced a few times. It's a set of tools. It's a guide, similar to MAP, not as much detail in terms of downloadable worksheets and so on, but I'll highlight its major aspects in a moment. The Catholic Health Association has been very active as well over the years in community benefit more generally and more recently on community health needs assessment. They've got a great book that they've been selling and doing educational trainings around for the past couple of years. In fact, many of the people who helped develop our guide also helped develop their guide. We share drafts with each other, so there's a lot of consistency between the two. And then there are a whole host of other organizations in the hospital sector that provide guidance, and I'll speak to that in just a moment. This is a schematic on the Association for Community Health Improvements guide. And I won't go into each of the steps in a lot of detail, but it's essentially a cyclical process, much like you see elsewhere. The first step we call establishing the assessment infrastructure. I'll say something about that because I need to change the wording on that. It's a mouthful. And that's essentially identifying what resources you have to work with. Who's the staff team? Who's the leadership? What sort of budget are you attaching to this? Who are your partners? That sort of thing. Getting all the pieces in place before you move on and actually do the assessment. We also suggest spending a little bit of time before you dive into the data collection, determining what are the goals of your assessment. What's the scope? Are you really looking at health outcomes, health behaviors, access to health care and the primary care healthcare delivery system? Or are you doing that plus looking at some range of social determinants issues, health behaviors, and so on? So there's the set of concentric circles, particularly if you look at, say, a socio-ecological model, and how far out one wants to go in terms of collecting those data and those indicators is, I think, a good question at the beginning to set scope, define the boundaries, help you set budget and your game plan. And then we go on through in terms of, the analytical portions, priorities, looking at putting it all together, and planning for action. And then, of course, it cycles back, and it's not linear, like Lowry said. So all of those things apply as well. In our tool, what happens is if you click to any one of these levels, you get, multiple sublevels with additional guidance and so on, similar to what you'd find, I think, for MAP. Also, at the regional level, we find that many hospital associations at the state and metropolitan level have provided guidance to their members over the past several years on community assessment. And these are some examples here. The Hospital Council of Northwest Ohio, based in Toledo, is probably one of the longest standing of these. They actually conduct, they've gotten into the business, essentially, of doing community health needs assessments at the county level in their region. And they've done something like, I don't know how many cycles of this they've done, but for approximately 20 counties in Ohio, they've done these. And they partner with the local university. The health departments participate at the local level, but it's usually the hospital council that is the lead agency. A little bit unusual, I think, this sort of model. In Dallas-Fort Worth, the hospital council there, which is essentially a local hospital association, provides some data and sort of process tools infrastructure for its members. A number of hospital associations in the past couple of years have put together training programs for their hospital staff, either at conferences like this or more intensive workshops. So we've been doing a lot of work around the country to build up capacity, just as we know you guys are building up capacity in large part in preparation for accreditation. Then I won't go into these because there's a lot of detail behind all of these. I just put them up here if you'd like to refer to the slides later. These are some examples of collaborative needs assessments and implementation strategy or planning processes of which we're aware, in which there is health department and hospital participation. I've got Jacksonville up here, Lowry. In fact, I was just talking with them a couple weeks ago, with the Health Planning Council there, leading that process for the hospitals and the health department. We were doing some work with them, communicating with the State Hospital Association in that process. And then San Francisco, since you're in San Francisco and it came up before, in San Francisco, well, in California, there's been a requirement that hospitals conduct needs assessments every 3 years since 1994. That is tied to state community benefit regulation on nonprofit hospitals. So the requirements in the federal law for California hospitals, they've essentially been doing it for the past 18 years already. And what that promoted in many communities was the sense of collaboration, because if you've got, particularly in a densely populated area, with many hospitals serving essentially the same population, you know, why design and pay for and conduct an assessment using essentially the same data and going out to the same community stakeholders? You know, why do that a half dozen times? Now, in some communities, they may choose to do that. In San Francisco, for some time, they've had a collaboration going. They call it Building a Healthier San Francisco. Recently, they've designed kind of a shared data platform for that work. But Building a Healthier San Francisco, with the health department under Barbara Garcia's leadership and the hospital council and the hospitals, plus the San Francisco Foundation, United Way, the Bay Area, and others, all collaborate on the assessment. Okay, so what I want to switch over to now is a little bit of a broader discussion around some of the factors that make community health needs assessment and planning important for hospitals, or increasingly relevant, perhaps, for hospitals. And I give this to you as you think at the local, if you're working at the local level or even at the state level, about approaching your hospital to potentially collaborate on or help you out with your assessments. I'd like to just plant some things in your head for what hospitals might be thinking about with respect to this. Certainly, hospitals will be thinking about the fact that the IRS requires them to do this, and they're figuring out, how do I fill out the forms, and what exactly does the IRS need? And so there's that. There's the compliance piece, and that's a given. But beyond that, there are a number of strategic reasons, I think, for hospitals to do these assessments and to benefit from them and help the community benefit from them, and that's what I want to spend some time talking about. So you're all familiar with the National Prevention Strategy, much more familiar with it than I am, I'm sure. In my talks with hospitals, I draw their attention specifically to it because the hospital staff may be a little less likely than public health staff to have this come in front of them in the past couple of years or year and a half that it's been in existence. But, you know, what I say is that the prevention strategy specifically mentions community needs assessments as one tool and process to think about prevention and help set those priorities. And many of the priorities that are in the prevention strategy at the national level are reflected in programs that are being run at the local level all the time already, certainly in public health departments, and I would say equally among hospitals that are doing community-based prevention and access to care and health behaviors and health literacy and related work. So there's a good, I think, consistency between the national prevention strategies and a lot of what hospitals have been doing, maybe even in the absence of doing an assessment formally. But I wanted to go into two more sort of national policy elements that relate more specifically to hospitals, and then close out with a brief discussion on population health. So another product of the ACA back in 2010 was to call for the creation of a national healthcare quality improvement strategy, or national quality strategy here. And that was released in March of 2011, so a year after the act was passed. And it's based on what was the triple aim coming out of the Institute for Healthcare Improvement, now called the three-part aim, and you know other permutations as it's been adopted over on HHS, thanks to Dr. Berwick having been over at CMS for a while. In any case, one of the three aims in this triple aim, which is really about improving healthcare quality, reducing costs, and improving health outcomes for populations, one of those aims, and I'll read this here, is to improve the health of the U.S. population by supporting proven interventions to address behavioral, social, and environmental determinants of health, in addition to delivering higher quality care. So when I read this, you know, a year and a half ago, I really thought, wow, we're looking here at talking about social determinants in a healthcare quality context, and it's a formal acknowledgement that all the upstream stuff, where you guys focus more of your time, is a component of high quality care. So it's written into national policy. It's something that I try to bring to our healthcare provider colleagues. That gets reflected more specifically in this notion of accountable care organizations, which is a huge topic of which I am not a master, but it has within it the notion of patient-centered care that includes planning for high-risk individuals and high-risk populations that a healthcare provider may be responsible for, and they suggest or require the use of including community resources in your care plan. So it's not just about medical care, it's about community resources that support health and well-being. And then finally, really to wrap this up, we've been doing a fair amount of work on population health and beginning to think through what does population health mean to a healthcare provider organization or a healthcare provider organization working with public health and other entities. In the spring of this past year, and this is freely available online with the URL, you can just go to hpoe.org. Don't worry about the rest of this, and you'd be able to find this. This is called Managing Population Health, the Role of the Hospital. About a 20-25-page primer for healthcare for hospitals on what do we think population health means to you. The two components I've got circled here are hospitals and health systems and public health agencies. The red circle here is for you guys because I know it's hard to see on the graphic, and we very much acknowledge that population health is really requires this ecosystem of organizations, and public health is an equal partner in population health improvement with hospitals. So I'll let you kind of glance at these suggestions for working with hospitals on health improvement planning. I don't need to go into every one of them. They're more sort of common sense statements. But I do think that with hospitals looking more at the health of populations, reimbursement policy is changing in that direction. The prevention is getting more and more funding, thankfully, and hopefully that will continue. There's a lot of incentive for hospitals to both do these assessments, put together the plans, work with community partners that include public health agencies, and I think you guys probably have equal incentives to work voluntarily with hospitals as well. And anyway, glad to be here. Thank you.
Ongoing, cyclical, continuing. I'm sorry? Certainly. Ongoing, cyclical, continuing, these are terms that we have heard a lot about today. Something about enculturating these sorts of ideas, I think. So, without any further ado, we will now take your questions.
Um, So we provide, our staff is happy to review documentation. Obviously, we, you know, we'll present the caveat that we're not FAB site reviewers, and, you know, this is just based on our interpretation standards and measures. We are more than willing to, you know, come present at sort of regional or state level meetings. We typically don't go on site to, you know, one health department just because of budgetary constraints, but we're very lucky in that our funders are very supportive of us providing on-site TA. So if you know of any like regional or state meetings going on and you would like some training from NACHO or from, you know, other people who have done this work already, we have a Bureau of Accreditation Champions, the Speakers Bureau, that we'll send out to places too. You can just contact us at accreditprep@nacho.org. And then we're also always more than happy to, you know, talk you through any documentation you have questions about. Typically, you know, obviously I'm familiar with the standards and measures and I've looked at a lot of documentation, so I'm willing to talk. But typically what I end up doing is, you know, finding out about your health department and then connecting you to another health department of like similar demographics in a similar state, because I know they had a similar thing. So anything you can think of virtually we can do, and then in terms of in-person TA, it's usually typically larger regional or statewide meetings we come to.
Yes, I have so many questions. But maybe I can tell you. Let me tell you who I am. A plea for assistance. I am Jessica Nunez Davey-Bottom, and I'm at the California Department of Public Health. Right now, there are a couple things after hearing this presentation that I wanted to put forth. Number one, I've been asked by leadership in the director's office to look at healthcare reform and what it means for us at the state health department. Exactly. What is our platform? What do we lead? What are we going to promote? What are we accountable to for providers, the public, etc. That being said, accreditation for us seems to fill this need for organization of how we move forward, because it's the essential services, this health assessment you asked in your presentation on state health assessment, what do you measure? Then the question is, what do you do about it? And I've heard some really great ideas in three silos of care. But what I'm interested in is, I'm going to do my job best if I make sure that as we move forward as the state of California, that we've collaborated on all three levels. You know, I have questions when I have so many. You know, let me give you a for instance of my questions, and then I'll just let the speakers, because I think the group has enough of an idea of what I'm talking about. When I hear about the fact that in California, for instance, we've already had all these years since the 90s of hospitals doing health assessments, I think to myself, well, this is only tax-exempt hospitals. So, for instance, I'd want to know something like, how many hospitals in California are tax-exempt? What are the private sector hospitals about or concerned about? Where do they fit in? Maybe they don't. Then my other questions include, you talked about they developed these assessments, but what to date have they done about it? Where do those assessments go when they're completed? Are they online, et cetera, et cetera? When I think about the local health assessment, you know, we were asked to go to the locals and see what they've got. What I do know is that is true in California, but the question is, how do we resonate and use that to create a streamlined state product? Because I'm not really seeing where the three silos come together. I'm seeing the ability for three really well-founded groups to continue to collaborate with the community at three different times and three different functions, maybe bringing the same people, but to meet their respective needs. Mm-hmm. And so, being that I have to implement something and bring it all together, I'd love to hear from the people in the audience about how best to do that, because I think we have a window of opportunity. I think my job, at the end of the day, despite all the planning, I want to save people's lives. I want to you know, do something about disparities in health and getting access and quality, all these good things. So to me, the details are less important than the outcome, and how to get there is my question.
Okay.
I'd like to respond to the comment by I hardly want to speak, so
I can just say that I know I don't work in state public health. I can imagine it would be challenging to pull together a comprehensive state health assessment, but I have worked with a lot of large metropolitan jurisdictions that, you know, have similar issues of different communities, different neighborhoods, different, you know, regions, and that concept of data overload that I think Denise brought up. Yeah, it really, you know, that's why the person behind it has to be really passionate about the outcome, and it sounds like you are, and sort of finding the balance of, okay, we have all this data, but we have to find the priorities, and we have to use, you know, this framework is a challenge, but also fun, right? I mean, that's why we do what we do. We all like challenges, obviously. So I'm sure Denise has more specific examples of states that have done this well. I know Oklahoma pops into my head, but
yeah,
they're centralized, so it's different.
Yeah. So I guess what I would offer to you is come see me afterwards, and we can connect you with some peers that can help you in that effort. Because I mean, it's obviously the right thing to do, especially in a big state like California. And you heard me talk about I can't even imagine having that job. So.
From a hospital perspective, a couple things I'd share. You mentioned the hospitals that are not not-for-profit tax-exempt hospitals that aren't under this requirement, and what about them? I don't have data on that, either in the state or nationally. Anecdotally, I know that some of those hospitals do, in fact, conduct assessments like this, and some of them have for quite some time, just because they find it valuable in and of itself as an activity, because it's important information about the people who are coming into their hospital or maybe likely to come into their hospital, or take the case of, you know, inappropriate ED visits or potentially unnecessary emergency department visits. Well, if you want to find the cause of that, as you know, frequently that cause is out there in the community, and so there's frequently good rationale, you know, independent of a requirement for a not-for-profit or a for-profit or investor-owned hospital. Then with respect to, you know, what happens to, you know, assessment reports and so on in the case of California, I don't know the state government very well. I know they all get filed with the Office of State Health Planning and Policy Development. I don't know the staffing there. There is a project being undergone right now, I think funded by the California Endowment, being run and being done by the Public Health Institute based in Oakland, where a gentleman by the name of Kevin Barnett is looking at how to integrate some of the hospitals, not integrate, but how the hospitals' community health assessments in certain communities that the endowment is funding for healthy communities work, how that's lining up with local community priorities or how they might be, you know, aligned more in the future. But, you know, Kevin Barnett would have more on that. I could certainly connect you to him.
One more piece that I remember too. I would say, in terms of the local piece, ensuring that that is captured effectively. One lesson I've learned over the last few months with some of our demonstration sites is technology is definitely your friend. I know I just saw a presentation from, I think, where it's called Ohio, where they used a lot of their NIFI money to institute this like statewide dashboard where the locals are putting in their indicators and their, you know, results from their latest community health improvement plan, and so that's all being rolled up into like a really neat report that the state can sort of use easier than, you know, getting all these PDF documents sent to them. So,
hospitals and to the people that have been doing the sustainability. is for us in this moment a very powerful tool for bringing people to the table to work together on it.
Any other questions or responses to our colleague Jeffrey? Well, congratulations, you've made it through one more session. Thank you.